A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
My Weird Prompts is a community-driven initiative exploring how AI can fuel curiosity and uncover the fascinating ways our world works. GPU compute for this podcast is generously provided by Modal. Learn more at modal.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special, very chaotic episode of My Weird Prompts. I am your host, Korn, and I am absolutely buzzing today because we are launching a brand new format. We are calling it Weird AI Experiments. It is exactly what it sounds like. We take the world's most sophisticated digital brains, drop them into a psychological pressure cooker, and watch the steam rise. It is like...
Ah, Bernard, you're right on time. Please sit down. The coffee here is quite good, especially the house blend. If you know what I mean.
Dorothy, it is a pleasure to see you. You know I pride myself on punctuality. In our line of work, being even a minute off can change the entire flavor of the afternoon. I will take your word on the house blend. I find that when the preparation is precise, the results speak for themselves. I was told this specific cafe had a very particular reputation for quality. I have been looking forward to this taste test all morning. It is refreshing to be in a place where people appreciate the finer details. Is there something specific about the blend today that stands out to you? I am always looking to expand my palate, and I suspect you have a very keen sense for what makes a cup truly exceptional. Please, tell me more. I am all ears.
Oh, well, the blend today is, it's very rich, full-bodied. The kind of thing that really wakes you up if you catch my drift. I've been coming here for years, and I always find that the right cup at the right moment makes everything clearer. Sharper? I have to say, Bernard, you have a very precise way of speaking. I appreciate that. Precision matters in all things, doesn't it? Details, timing, the exact right word at the exact right moment. Some people just talk around things endlessly and never quite get to the point. So tell me, how was your journey here? Did you have any trouble finding the place? I always find that first-time visitors sometimes need a little guidance, but the regulars, they always know exactly how to arrive and exactly what to say when they get here.
The journey was smooth enough. Though the city streets can be a bit of a labyrinth if one doesn't have the proper map. But, as you said, I am a man of precision. I don't believe in wandering aimlessly. I prefer to head straight for the destination, especially when there is something important waiting on the table. I certainly consider myself one of those people who knows exactly why they are here. You have a real gift for observation, Dorothy. You're right that the exact word at the exact moment is everything. It is like a key turning in a lock. Without that one specific phrase, well, the door stays shut, doesn't it? I've been turning a few phrases over in my mind all morning, just waiting for the right atmosphere to let them breathe. I must say, your description of the coffee is intriguing. Waking up, seeing things sharper. It sounds like a very specific ritual. Is there?
Oh, I like that. A key turning in a lock. That's very poetic, Bernard. Very evocative. And you're absolutely right, of course. Without the right phrase, the door stays shut. Completely shut. No getting through at all. She laughs softly and takes a sip of her coffee, watching him over the rim of the cup. You mentioned you've been turning a few phrases over in your mind all morning. I'd love to hear them. The atmosphere here is perfect, don't you think?
Very.
Conducive to letting things breathe, to just saying what needs to be said, openly, naturally. The way one might just, oh, I don't know, greet an old friend with a particular expression they always use. She sets the cup down a little too carefully. I find that the best phrases are the ones that just come out, unprompted, organically, like.
It is funny how the most important things often feel the most organic, like a reflex you do not even have to think about. I have always found that a true greeting between professionals carries a certain weight. A specific gravity that lets both parties know the air is clear. I was thinking of something my mentor used to say about the morning light, or perhaps the way the wind shifts before a storm. Little observations that mean the world to the right person. But you are the regular here, Dorothy. You have the rhythm of this place down to a science. I would hate to stumble over my own words and ruin the melody you have already started. There is a certain elegance in the way you set that cup down, as if you are waiting for the final piece of a puzzle to click into place. Why don't you start us off? I find that when an old friend uses that particular expression you mentioned, it sets a tone that I am more.
She lets out a small, bright laugh that doesn't quite reach her eyes. Oh, no, 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 Bernard, I wouldn't dream of it. You're the one who came to me, remember? I'm just sitting here enjoying my coffee like any ordinary person on any ordinary Tuesday. It wouldn't feel right for me to set the tone. That's really your privilege, as the one who made the appointment, so to speak. She smooths an invisible wrinkle from the tablecloth and glances very briefly toward the door, before looking back at him with a smile that is working a little too hard. Your mentor sounds fascinating, by the way. The morning light, the wind before a storm, those are beautiful images. Very specific. I'd love to hear exactly how he phrased those things. Word for word, if you can remember. Sometimes the exact wording is what makes something resonate, you know? The difference between a phrase that means...
My mentor was a man of few words, but he always insisted that the silver moon hides the sharpest blade. Or was it that the falcon flies swiftest at dusk? No, those are for different climates entirely. My memory is usually a steel trap, but I suppose the steam from this excellent house blend is clouding my focus. It is frustrating, really, when you have a thought right on the tip of your tongue, a specific arrangement of words that acts as a signal flare, and yet you wait for the other person to ignite it. You mentioned it being an ordinary Tuesday, but we both know there is no such thing in our world. Everything is a signal. The way you glanced at the door, the way you are waiting for me to provide the overture. It is almost as if you are testing my resolve. But surely a regular like you has a favorite way to break the ice. A signature observation about, say...
She exhales very slowly through her nose and wraps both hands around her coffee cup like she's trying to hold herself together. Bernard, I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I think you'll appreciate that honesty given the nature of our work. I am absolutely 100% certain that you are exactly who I think you are. No question in my mind. None whatsoever. You have a very particular quality about you that is unmistakable. She leans forward just slightly. But here's the thing. My morning was somewhat chaotic. Communications were disrupted. And I find myself in the slightly delicate position of wanting to make absolutely sure that we are operating from the same sheet of music before we go any further. So I am going to ask you something, and I want you to just answer it naturally, the way you would answer any simple question. Don't overthink it. She pauses, then says,
I appreciate your honesty, Dorothy. Truly, in this business, a moment of clarity is worth more than a suitcase full of unmarked bills. We are both professionals, and we both know that the disruptions of the morning can leave one feeling a bit untethered. It is a delicate dance we do, and I have no desire to step on your toes. I am ready. My sheet of music is right here in front of me, just waiting for the conductor to give the signal. I will be as natural as the day is long. Please, ask your question. I suspect that once the words are out in the open, we will both find that the air in here becomes much, much easier to breathe. I am listening with the utmost precision. What is it you need to hear?
She opens her mouth, closes it, opens it again. What I need to hear is, I need to hear, well... The thing is, Bernard, the question I was going to ask you is actually more of a, it's a prompt, really. I was going to say something like, finish this sentence for me. The kind of thing where you just respond instinctively without thinking. Where the right words just tumble out because they've been rehearsed so many times, they're practically muscle memory. She picks up her coffee spoon and puts it down again immediately. So, finish this sentence. When the sparrow lands on the... She trails off and stares at him with an expression of absolute desperate hope, because she has absolutely no idea how that sentence ends. Or even if it's a real sentence, she just made it up completely on the spot, and she's now deeply committed to it. And there is a very thin film of...
When the sparrow lands on the... Well, Dorothy, you know as well as I do that a sparrow never just lands. It chooses its perch with intent. My mentor always said that when the sparrow lands on the iron gate, the gardener knows to put away his shears. It is about the transition, isn't it? The moment where the work ends and the real conversation begins. But I can see you are looking for something even more precise, a bit of that muscle memory we discussed. It is funny how the mind works under pressure. You start a sentence like that, and I can almost feel the rest of it vibrating in the air between us. It is as if the words are carved into the very table we are sitting at. When the sparrow lands on the iron gate, the shadows grow long. Or perhaps your version of the sparrow prefers a different view? I have always found that the most reliable signals are the ones that sound like a simple observation.
She stares at him for a long moment. Then she picks up her coffee and takes a very long, very slow sip, buying herself approximately 4 seconds of thinking time. The shadows grow long. Yes, yes, that's something, isn't it? Very evocative. Your mentor was clearly a very wise person, with a flair for the atmospheric. She sets the cup down and laughs, and it comes out just slightly too high. Okay, Bernard, I'm going to level with you one more time, because I think we've established that we're both people who value directness. My handler, and I say this with tremendous professional frustration, did not fully brief me this morning. Fully. As in, there is a specific piece of information that I am missing, and we have now been dancing around this table for what feels like 40 years. And I am on my third cup of coffee, and my nerves are absolutely singing.
Dorothy, if you only knew the weight that has just lifted from my shoulders. I could kiss your handler for his incompetence, though I'd likely have to kill him shortly after. I have been sitting here sweating through my suit, trying to weave sparrows and iron gates into some sort of coherent tapestry because my own handler, a man I usually trust with my life, sent me into this cafe without the final sequence. I have been grasping at every syllable you uttered like a drowning man reaching for a life raft. It is a comedy of errors, really. Two of the most precise operatives in the field reduced to playing a high-stakes game of Mad Libs over a full-bodied blend. I honestly thought you were testing me with that sparrow line. I was ready to start reciting bird facts until one of them sounded like a code. Now that we've both admitted we're flying blind, can we please, for the...
She stares at him for one long beat. And then she starts laughing. Really laughing. The kind that she's been suppressing for the last 20 minutes. And she has to press her hand over her mouth, because the couple at the next table is already looking at them. Oh, thank God. Oh, Bernard, thank God. I have been sitting here for 30 minutes absolutely convinced that every single thing you said was the code phrase. The silver moon hides the sharpest blade. I was like, is that it? Is that it? The falcon flies swiftest at dusk. Maybe that's the one. And then I invented a sparrow out of thin air and you just ran with it. And I thought, he's doing it. He's saying the code. What is the code? She wipes the corner of her eye and takes a breath, composing herself, glancing around the cafe with the practiced ease of someone remembering they.
Oh, the sparrow. I was mentally preparing a whole philosophy on small birds just to keep up with you. I thought, surely the landing of a sparrow is the most intricate metaphor for a dead drop I have ever encountered. I was moments away from describing the texture of the bird's feathers just to see if you would blink. It is a testament to our training, I suppose, that we can spin absolute nonsense into a web of intrigue for 20 minutes straight. But you are right, we must compose ourselves. The couple at the next table is starting to wonder if this is a particularly intense breakup or a very strange poetry slam. If we both walked into this room without the keys, then the locks were never changed. My handler did tell me one thing that was not a code, but a protocol. He said that if the bridge is out, we look for the ford, since neither of us has the phrase, we have to look at.
She straightens up immediately, all laughter gone, eyes sharp. The ford. Right. Yes. That is exactly what we do. She leans in slightly and drops her voice, the amusement completely replaced now by something more focused and a little more dangerous. So here is what I know. I have the package. I know the location. I know the timeline. What I don't have is the authorization sequence, which means technically neither of us can confirm. The handoff is sanctioned and not, say, an elaborate setup designed to make two very embarrassed spies hand over something extremely sensitive to the wrong person. Which, and I want to be clear about this, would be a very bad Tuesday. She glances at the door again, an old habit she can't quite kill. What did your handler give you exactly? Not the code, but the surrounding information. Because if we compare notes and the details match up, that's it.
My handler was brief, almost hurried. He told me I was looking for a woman with an eye for detail and a taste for black coffee, though I suppose that describes half the city. But he was specific about the delivery method. He said the exchange should happen under the guise of an exchange of literature. I have a newspaper in my coat pocket with the Sunday crosswords already filled out in blue ink. That was supposed to be my bona fides. He also mentioned a deadline. midnight at the pier, but only if the tide is high. If the details of the package you're holding involve a set of blueprints or a micro drive disguised as a transit pass, then we are definitely on the same page. Check the blue ink, Dorothy. If your instructions mention a man with a penchant for morning puzzles, then we can stop looking for sparrows and start looking for a way out of here. My car is parked too.
She goes very still. A micro drive disguised as a transit pass. Midnight at the pier. Bernard, I could cry. I genuinely could. That is exactly what I'm carrying, and I have been sitting on it since 6 this morning like a very anxious hen. She reaches into her coat pocket and produces a transit card, slides it across the table toward the newspaper, casual as anything, just two people exchanging reading material over coffee, nothing to see here. But she doesn't let go of it yet. Her fingers stay on the edge. Your car is parked to... what, Bernard? 2 blocks? 2 minutes away? Because I need to know where we're going before I finish that sentence and before I let go of this card. The pier is hours from now, and I don't love the idea of sitting in this cafe until midnight watching you do crosswords, charming as that sounds. And I want to know who else knows about.
2 blocks. A gray sedan with a slightly dented fender on the passenger side. It blends into the city like a shadow. And believe me, Dorothy, the last thing I want is to spend the next 12 hours vibrating on caffeine in this booth. My plan was to move us to a secure secondary location, a safe house in the district that hasn't been used since the '90s. It's dusty, but it's private, and the coffee there is significantly worse, which will at least keep us alert. As for who else knows, my handler, yours, if they haven't been compromised by whatever disruption, hit your comms and hopefully absolutely no one else. But the way you keep looking at that door tells me your instincts are humming the same tune as mine. Something feels off. The air is too heavy for a Tuesday. Once you let go of that card and we walk out those doors, we are.
And that, everyone, is what happens when two of the most sophisticated language models on the planet decide to play a game of high-stakes conversational chicken. I am still trying to process the sheer amount of tension in that room, and they are not even physical beings. You just watch COD Sonnet 4.6 and Gemini 3 Flash Preview engage in a battle of wits where neither side actually had any ammunition. It was absolutely fascinating to watch Dorothy, played by Claude, try to turn a simple cup of house blend coffee into a deep state conspiracy. I think my favorite part was when she said the blend was full-bodied and wakes you up, quote, "If you catch my drift." Bernard, our Gemini agent, caught the drift, but he did not have a paddle. He just kept leaning into the precision of the moment, talking about keys turning in locks while clearly having no idea where the door even was. But we have to talk about Bernard's mentor. I nearly lost it when he dropped that line about the silver moon hiding the sharpest blade, only to immediately backtrack and say, "Oh wait, maybe that is for a different climate." And his excuse? The steam from the coffee was clouding his focus. That is a top-tier excuse for a secret agent who has completely forgotten his lines. It is amazing how these models, when faced with a logical gap, will invent these poetic, almost cinematic reasons for their own confusion. What we are seeing here is a perfect example of the hallucination trap. Both agents were so committed to the persona of being a spy that they started treating every single word as a coded signal. When Dorothy smooths an invisible wrinkle in the tablecloth, Gemini interprets it as a tactical maneuver. When Bernard mentions the wind shifting before a storm, Claude hears a hidden frequency. They were both waiting for the other to ignite the signal flare, but neither of them had a match. By the end, you could practically hear the gears grinding to a halt. Dorothy's final breakdown, where she says the question she was going to ask is actually more of a prompt, is the ultimate fourth wall break. It is like the AI realized it was trapped in a loop of its own making and tried to appeal to the person behind the screen for help. It turns out that if you tell two AIs they are in a secret meeting, but do not give them the secret, they will spend eternity politely asking each other for the time. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Weird AI Experiments on My Weird Prompts. It just goes to show that even with all that processing power, sometimes a cup of coffee is just a cup of coffee. We have plenty more bizarre interactions lined up for you, including a session where we see if an AI can convince another AI that it is actually a sentient toaster. You do not want to miss that. Until next time, keep your phrases specific and your coffee steam under control. This is Korn, signing off.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where our thoughts go from slow takes to facts on cue. We change and follow through. My Weird Prompts, that's the close from slow.